You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Four on the Gym Class for a Thursday here on KGYM. Welcome aboard. Day one of the United States Open. We will update you on that. Going to talk some basketball with you, some off-season basketball. The coach, Kevin Lehman, is going to join us. Plenty of basketball news today as schedules continue to be constructed. We know the Big Ten opponents on the men's and women's side. We will talk about that. Austin Ashe with a landing spot, and a whole lot more. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. That is our phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is 319-366-1600. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes across the way, Ben on the other side of the glass, and most importantly, you, our listener out there, as we take you through a Thursday edition of the show. Coming your way, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, your KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well here on another warm afternoon in eastern Iowa. You got your golf fill-in today. How are you?
Good. Good afternoon,
and
Scott.
And that was not supposed to be some sort of a knock on Phil, who was not playing well.
No, not at all. And good afternoon to you and everyone out there. And looking forward to talking with Kevin Lehman again, even though it's the off season. Plenty has developed since the end of March Madness. And we're going to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. The Padres not yet in double figures at Wrigley Field.
Not yet?
It's early.
Okay. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program. We have a John Deere Classic giveaway for you once again today. Pair of any day passes plus a parking pass, a one-day parking pass, to see the John Deere Classic. Some of the folks that are doing well so far at the Country Club will be over at the TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois, and that will be coming up in a couple of weeks, June 29th through July the 3rd. And we have your chance to win coming up in just a little bit with that. And good place to start, United States Open. And so far, it has not been a good start for one Phil Mickelson. Perhaps a lot of folks would say karma catching up to Phil. Phil just does not look like he is having any fun on the golf course right now, and he just got done four putting from 12 feet a couple of holes ago.
Yeah, I caught that before I came to the studio, and it was atrocious. I think most amateurs could have done better than he did on that hole.
Now, Spencer, who's not a golfer, I said, Spencer, you are putting better than Phil Mickelson right now, and he denied that. I would have to say he's on a same level with Phil as far as that hole was concerned. Spencer, I'm with you, buddy. You could have done it, man. You could have three-putted, I think.
In that particular hole, yeah. Phil Mickelson, plus five through seven holes. And he four-putted for double bogey on the hole we were talking about. Right now, three under is the lead. Nobody's going really low, and the wind is up in the afternoon. Callum Tarran holds the joint lead with David Lingmuth, Joel Damon, and Rory McIlroy.
You may have heard of Rory McIlroy. Maybe not so much. Callum Tarran, he is from Great Britain and has just started to play on the PGA Tour this year. David Lingmuth, one career win. That was 7 years ago at It was a biggie. It was at Jack's Place. He won the Memorial. A lot of people thought that the Swede was going to be, that was going to catapult him a little bit. Never happened. And Joel Damon, kind of a journeyman. This is your usual first-round leaderboard at the U.S. Open, Mark.
And a slug of players at minus two. Lingmuir came out of the qualifier, sectional qualifier, at which Sean McCarty competed, the Coralville and Solon professional, narrowly missed the qualifying there. But among the players at minus two, who you'll probably hear about over the weekend, Brian Harmon, Aaron Wise, Matt Fitzpatrick, who won an amateur there at the country club. That just sounds stuffy, doesn't it?
It does.
The country club. Webb Simpson.
Mr. U.S. Open.
Major player. And then two back, Colin Morikawa, among others.
John Rahm, Adam Scott, Max Homa, Will Zalatoris, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Shane Lowry, Justin Rose, all at minus one right now, and a whole slew of players at even. It is a very bunched leaderboard. In fact, if you put the evens, so your first even is tied for 29th, your first plus one is tied at 47th, and your first plus two is tied 72. So you've got a bushel basket plus of golfers in there. You got about 60 golfers within three shots of one another. And I think that's going to be the case. I think there are going to be a lot of golfers playing the weekend when that cut comes around.
Yeah, I would anticipate that as well. And I don't know that anybody's going to go lower than three under in the afternoon. We got Seamus Power at minus two through nine. Fitzpatrick minus two through eight. Simpson minus two through eight. Amateur Austin Greaser.
Runner-up in the U.S. Amateur last year.
Minus two through eight. Adam Hadwin, minus two through seven. If these players are playing the front nine right now, the back nine is much more difficult. And again, the wind is up right now.
DJ is your low live player at minus one. And Kevin Na got off to a tremendous start. Had a chance to go to three under and then took a double. And he has since fallen off to a plus two. Brooks Koepka, there's talk along with Bryson DeChambeau. They may play in the next event. We'll see. They are plus one. But other than DJ, the live group is kind of struggling today.
Led by the aforementioned Phil Mickelson. And I know he's gotten a good reception today from what I can see.
Yeah, they're starting to, though. The worse he plays, the more heckling is going to come out. And there were a few after the four putt. Heard a few right there. And I hope not. I don't want to see that happen anywhere. You see that a lot in the New York U.S. Opens, and I think you'll see it to a certain extent here in Boston, in the area. But like Bob Herrig said, and you made that point to me earlier today, Mark, when we talked, that they're more of an anti-team group in Boston. I mean, they're not. If you were
anybody
the,
playing the Celtics, anybody playing the Bruins,
the Red Sox, the Pats, the Patriots. I can't do a Boston accent. I apologize. I shouldn't even have attempted it. But yeah, it's been a fun first round. It's been a fun first round so far. Golf course is tremendous. I think it's very fair. You hit it. They're not wide fairways. They're smallish greens. Pebble and the Country Club, the smallest greens that there are as far as championship venues in America are concerned. And it's, I think, been set up very fair by the United States Golf Association. No one complaining as of yet.
We had a text earlier wondering why Zach Johnson is not playing in the U.S. Open. And frankly, he did not have an exemption to play, and
didn't
it chose
qualify.
Not to qualify.
No. His exemption has run out, as far as the U.S. Open is concerned, from the Open Championship win at St. Andrews a few years ago. And Zach will be in perpetuity in the Masters as long as he wants to play. Same now as far as the PGA Championship is concerned. Their former champions can play. Not sure about the Open Championship. I don't know about that as of yet. Matt Fitzpatrick, by the way, who won the U.S. Amateur here in 2013 at the Country Club, just with another birdie. He is at minus three. No one has talked about Fitzpatrick. Good player, and he's due to win his first major and his first U.S. tournament. He's done very, very well overseas, obviously, in his native Great Britain, but has not broke through yet in America. Could do it this week.
By the way, the Zach Johnson Foundation tournament, typically after the John Deere, not going to happen until late July, Monday, July 25th this year at Elmcrest Country Club.
There you go. Had some people asking us about that. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600.
And I know you saw this. Rick Riley, who was on the show last Friday, Zach Johnson, in reference to Rick Riley's comment after Zach Johnson won the 2007 Masters, Zach Johnson got Rick Riley a $30 gift card to Olive Garden.
Yeah, it was good.
And they had a little banter back and forth. Both had good humor with that.
I think that was that was fantastic. I think that was fantastic. Not only do we have our John Deere Classic giveaway, but you are invited to listen in, and you should make it an appointment listening each day at 2 o'clock with Spencer on Sports, and he's going to have your final chance to win Cedar Rapids Colonels tickets. That'll be coming up tomorrow. So listen in from 2 until 3 with Spencer. Spencer on Sports right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up in just a little bit, but there is basketball news to talk about. This came out last night, Mark, from his very own Twitter account. Also got this today from Dad Carey. But new landing spot for former Jayhawk, former Mount Vernon Mustang, former Iowa Hawkeye Austin Ashe. Going to play his final year of college basketball for the Citadel next year. And the Citadel, that is the military school of South Carolina. I am not sure if he has to take military classes or anything like that. I should ask Carey that. But he will play for the Citadel next year, and hopefully he's going to get some playing time, get in there, and have a great final year as far as his college career is concerned.
Good for him. What's that, the Southern Conference?
I believe so, yes.
And full ride scholarship for 1 year, and nothing but good things to say about that.
No, I think that's great. So we wish the best as far as Austin is concerned. And, yeah, he'll play for the Citadel next year. I believe they're the Bulldogs, but don't quote me on that. Is that right? I'm going to double check on that. 319-366-1600. Before the texts start to come in, as far as, hey, you didn't know that? We'll get that. Charleston, South Carolina. You can't find a better spot than Charleston either. That's that is a great place. Great, great place. Historic, no doubt about that, but also on the ocean and terrific.
Coached by a former Iowan.
Oh, really?
From Davenport, and the name escapes me right now. Should have written it down.
You should have written it down. The Military College of South Carolina is the Citadel. More basketball news. As we mentioned, the Big Ten coming out with the list of teams that each school will play once, twice, home and away. For both the men and the women, that was released earlier on today. And for Iowa men's basketball, and this is it's kind of a little bit sad, Mark, I think. You always like to see, for me anyway, I like to see the rivalries kept intact and played twice. And that's just me. But Iowa men's basketball will only meet Illinois and Minnesota once next year.
Mm.
The one-off home games for Iowa men's basketball next year, Illinois, Maryland, and Michigan.
Michigan's taking a hit,
but they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. By the way, Kevin helping us out, Ed Conroy, Davenport. Yep. Assumption.
Came to me right before his text.
Thank you, Kevin.
Telepathy.
We will talk to Kevin coming up here in just a little bit on the program. But Iowa will play Illinois, Maryland, and Michigan at home. They will be on the road for these one-offs, Minnesota, Penn State, and Purdue. So I think as far as the schedule is concerned, that's not bad, is it? I mean,
no.
If you have to play Illinois and Michigan and Maryland once, I mean, Maryland wasn't great shakes last year, but I think they're going to be better this year once they get the coaching situation ironed out, et cetera, et cetera. Last year was kind of a mess as far as the Terps are concerned, but you only play Illinois once, it's at home. That's a win. I mean, that's a win as far as not going to Champaign.
Scheduling win, yeah.
Yes. Michigan at home, yeah, I'll take that. Maryland, sure, why not? And Iowa struggles at Penn State all the time. We know that, so that's going to be a tough one. Purdue is going to be tough, no doubt about that. But Minnesota coming off down here, yeah, you take your chances up at Williams Arena, right? Still like to see Iowa-Minnesota play twice,
though. Yeah, the scheduling being what it is, you're going to get some things you like, some things you don't like. And that's just the way it is with the imbalance in schedules and only playing teams once. It is what it is right now. But I think not a bad situation for the Hawkeyes.
Not a bad situation indeed. And, of course, Iowa will play home and away with Indiana, Michigan State, Nebraska, Northwestern, Ohio State, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. So Iowa does play Wisconsin
twice. Is Indiana the favorite this year?
I think as of right now, Indiana is the favorite.
Yeah.
With what they have coming in, what they have coming back, with Jackson Davis coming back, I think Indiana is the favorite at this time. Women's Big Ten basketball. Now, the men play 20 games in conference. The women only play 18. So you have one more school that is a home only and away only. So for Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes, these are the home only games. That would Minnesota, Northwestern, so that's good, Purdue, and then Rutgers. Away only for the Iowa women, Illinois, and Illinois has been down for many years in women's basketball. Michigan, yeah, that's going to be hard. Michigan State and Ohio State, so there's some toughies in there. Five schools that Iowa will play twice, home and away. Indiana and Maryland. So that is going to be very – you could make a pretty good case for those six games, or four games, I guess. Indiana, Maryland against Iowa twice. Going to go a long way to determine things. But also home and away, Nebraska, Penn State, and Wisconsin. So I don't think too bad as far as Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeye women are concerned either.
Well, the composition of that roster is going to be conducive for Bluter to take her team just about anywhere and be competitive.
Iowa and Iowa State both securely in the way too early top tens as far as women's college basketball looking ahead to next year is concerned. So I would agree with you. Indiana's been terrific as of late, and we know what Coach Freeze has coming back as far as her Maryland Terrapins. They were very young last year.
Mm-hmm.
Got to think Iowa, Maryland, and Michigan are going to be right there. And Michigan had some losses. They need some. They got some holes they're going to have to fill. So, but I think they're going to be just fine. And going to be interesting to see how Rutgers bounces back without Vivian Stringer now. Of course, retiring officially after last year. So there you go, a little bit of basketball talk. We're going to have more basketball talk coming up. We'll talk about the schedule with Kevin, talk about personnel with Kevin, who's coming back, who's not coming back, maybe look ahead to what he thinks as far as the NBA draft is concerned. A lot of things to talk about with Kevin.
And we've got pairings for the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
Yes.
Iowa State is going to go to Missouri on January 28th. The rest of the schedule I have not seen.
And I wanted to see, because I was trying to remember if Iowa State had Missouri last year as well. And I'm going to look that up right now. Let's see. It was in the SEC Challenge. Yes, Missouri last year. Iowa State won 67-50 at Hilton Coliseum. I thought Iowa State played Missouri last year. Cyclone fans already saying, get the telephone trophy back and ready to go. Let it be for basketball. And I'm, of course, the telephone, if you do not know, the telephone trophy was the trophy played between Iowa State and Missouri in football.
Mm-hmm.
For the many years that they played when they were in the same conference. And have not, obviously, done that for a long time. So, hey, why not, right? Get it out for basketball. Now, Missouri's not great shakes right now as far as men's basketball is concerned. A lot of turnover, new regime coming in as far as Como is concerned. And, yeah, we'll see. But I think it's a pretty good, even going on the road. And I don't think the Antlers are there anymore.
I don't know.
At the old Hearn Center, man, there were some knockdown dragouts. Least favorite arena Johnny Orr liked visiting was the Hearn Center in Columbia.
I saw a game there once from the rafters. Missouri under Norm Stewart was playing Oklahoma State, I think.
It's still there.
Not a great arena.
It's still there. They use it, I think, for volleyball. Now, don't quote me on that, but I know they use it down there from Missouri before Mizzou Arena was built, not too far away. But Johnny did not like going there. And guess who refereed?
Damn Woody.
Many of those games. That Woody. Woody Mayfield, the Jim Bain of Iowa State for Johnny Orr for many, many years. 319-366-1600 here on the gym class program. Yes, Noah Carter is down at Missouri, though. Yeah, thank you, 6429. He will get to do something that he was unable to do at UNI, and that is play the Cyclones. Ah, love that. A little backhand from 6429 right there on the text line. All right, 327. Going to send it over to you, Mark, for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Across Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. They're open at 4 o'clock. Eat local and try their burgers and fries made fresh daily, or wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar, or bring the whole family for a friendly service in the dining area. Stop on by there at emilshideaway.com.
According to John Steppy of the Gazette, the Iowa Ladies Football Academy held last weekend and headed up by Mary Ferentz, the wife of Kirk Ferentz, the head coach, raised more than $500,000 for the University of Iowa Children's Hospital.
That's awesome.
And this is the last year, the 10th year, that this event will be held, but a great run for the Iowa Ladies Football Academy. Major League Baseball this afternoon, 8th inning, Oakland on top of Boston, 4-1. San Diego Padres on top of the Chicago Cubs in the bottom of the sixth, 5-2. Baltimore leading Toronto, bottom of the fourth, 7-0. And those dang Cleveland Guardians leading Colorado, 3-0 in the fourth. Everything else tonight. And reports out that, according to Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, robot umpires are unlikely in 2023.
What do you think about that? What's your thought? I'm fine with that. I'd rather see the human element. I know that
you're not going to need the human element on the field anyway.
Right. I know they're wrong at times, and many more times if there's a certain umpire behind home plate.
Okay, umpire's going to get buzzed. Yeah, that was a strike. Ring him up. Blah, blah, blah. That's going to correct some calls.
But I'm okay with it.
I don't know.
I'm okay with it. 319-366-1600. 329. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. And Coach Kevin Lehman's going to join us. And it'll be a mid-June edition of Off the Glass coming your way as we'll talk a little college hoops here in the middle of summer. And we'll do that with Kevin when we return after a look at the weather and a break here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll have plenty of sunshine for the rest of the day. The humidity levels will continue to go down, but temperatures do stay warm in the mid to upper 80s this afternoon. Later on tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies and comfortable conditions with temperatures dropping down to a low around 60. Tomorrow and Saturday, we'll have temperatures in the low to mid 80s, plenty of sun with humidity on the low side, but that heat and humidity start to creep back in on Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Join us for the Linn County Fair, June 22nd through the 26th. Bring your friends and family and have some fun at the place where great memories are made. Songwriter turned hit artist Mitchell Tenpenny takes the stage Thursday, June 23rd. Drunk me, can't get over you. He'll be joined by TikTok sensation Cooper Allen. I get a little something on ice, but I'm JT in my mind. A combination that's sure to delight. The show is sponsored by Kruger Seeds, Neighbor Insurance Nationwide, and Community Savings Bank. Gates open at 6 p.m. and the show starts at 7:30. For ticket information, go to thelinncountyfair.com. The fair is located in Central City, just 15 minutes north of Marion, June 22nd through 26th, with free daily parking. Sponsored by SPS Inc., Linn Newsletter, Iowa's News Now, CopyWorks, and MediaCom. Get all the details at thelinncountyfair.com and start your new family tradition at the Linn County Fair.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Class 3A, number 3 rated Xavier baseball team swept a doubleheader at Cedar Rapids Jefferson Monday night. Senior Alex Neal got the win as the Saints slid past the Jayhawks 4-3 in Game 1. In Game 2, the Saints powered to a 10-2 victory. Junior Brody Hoffman added 2 runs and 2 RBIs toward the win. The 19-4 Saints will face Cedar Rapids Washington in a twin bill tomorrow at home for senior night. The Xavier softball team swept Waterloo East on the road Tuesday in an MV doubleheader. The Saints topped the Trojans 7-2 and 16-8. The team has another double dip tonight with Cedar Rapids Washington, and they'll host a varsity triangular with Burlington and Centerpoint Urbana on Saturday.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Missing football? Come see a special exhibit honoring the life and achievements of Papa Bear George Halas at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. This renowned player, coach, and owner of the Chicago Bears and co-founder of the NFL was a first-generation Czech American. Follow the story of his life through this exhibit, featuring artifacts and photos from the NFL Hall of Fame and the Chicago Bears. Experience gridiron champs George Halas and the Chicago Bears now at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And as 5540 reminds us, we do have some John Deere tickets to give away, plus a one-day parking pass, and we will do that before 4 o'clock. So we'll give you an opportunity to win those today and tomorrow with us here on the Gym Class program. It's a Thursday edition, 333. Scott and Mark with you, Ben on the other side of the glass. And yeah, it's a little unusual to chat basketball when it's 91 degrees outside. But
a guy can shoot a three coming up next.
Yeah, he can shoot the three. May not be the best in the family. That's, you know, we could have that argument right now. But the coach, Kevin Lehman, joining us right now on a Thursday edition of the show. And happy summer to you.
Well, thanks, guys. Good talking a little basketball here in the middle of June. Things have kind of slowed down with the transfer portal, and now we've seen the new schedules coming out as teams have gotten their rosters somewhat straightened out.
They have. By the way, before we start talking about that, this would be, right now, back in the day, you would be knee-deep and immersed in primetime league basketball. How much do you miss that?
Oh, I tell you what, I had dinner with Ray Swatella, who was one of the coaches with me, just last night, and yeah, we still tell stories of that. It was such a great time. You know, I always drafted Ali Forkmanesh and a couple other favorites that we had. And unfortunately, I got some bad news. You know, Randy Larson, who ran that program, is in the hospital. He had a stroke about 2 weeks ago. So our thoughts and prayers are with Randy Larson. He's not doing well, guys. But hopefully he'll pull through this.
Hope so. And, yeah, Randy was the driving force behind the primetime league for all the years, I mean, that it was going.
Well, it was his idea, Scott. It started when Dr. Tom came in, and we had just gone to Northern Iowa, Eldon Miller, because they'd had the private games in the old North, the North gym, the old field house. And, you know, Randy would lock the doors. It'd be the Iowa players and so forth. You kind of had an invitation to get in that door. And that's kind of where the primetime evolved from, that they'd start a league. And back then, remember, all the NBA guys, B.J. Armstrong, Ed Horton, Roy Marble, they would come back and train here in the summer and play in that primetime league. You know, now your NBA guys do not come back to their home schools like they did back then. So, you know, in those late 80s, early 90s, that league was loaded with talent. You had NBA guys playing in the primetime league.
Cap City League's going, though, this summer, I read, correct?
As far as I know, yeah, it's still going with, you know, Iowa State players and Drake players, and then probably some kids from Grandview, DMAC, and so forth are competing in that league. And, you know, Troy Skinner took the idea from Randy Larson and started that Cap City League.
Kevin, how impactful is the Matt Gaetans hire at Iowa?
You know, I think it's a home run. And, you know, I'm a shirt-tail cousin of Matt, so I've known him forever. We used to play hoops at the North Dodge Y when he was started, like, in seventh grade. Of course, you know, he could compete with his old guys back then. But I had a great conversation with him at Drake this year, and he told me this has really helped his career, Mark. When he was at Auburn with Bruce Pearl, that's when that investigation came down, and they had some assistants that got immediately fired. So Matt goes, you know, I was a GA, but I had to do the work of a full-time assistant because Chuck Pearson, for one, was immediately released of his duty. So he goes, I was doing scheduling, individual workouts. I was an on-the-floor coach, so it really helped speed up his growth as a coach, and he'd done a great job for them at Drake, you know, under DeVries with Matt there. They've been the tops of the Valley. He's coming back home. This Iowa City guy, dad played for the Hawks, bleeds black and gold. I think it's another home run hire by Fran McCaffrey.
I would agree. And I think especially as far as I think the recruiting situation is concerned, especially as far as, you know, keeping locals close and keeping them in state. I mean, it's not going to be any easier with T.J. Otzelberger, with Ben, what he's doing, with Darren DeVries over at Drake. You know, you have to have as many cards on the table as you can to try to keep some of the local talent around.
And, you know, Fran's done a great job of that. I think he's got the guys at Iowa that can help him win the Big Ten at Samford, you know, Bohannon. Now if he's got Dix on his roster. But, and of course, the Murray twins, about that coup that he pulled off. So Fran's, I think, always done a good job of identifying those players. Because I was at Northern Iowa, our deal was, okay, we're going to get the guys that Iowa and Iowa State aren't quite sure of. And we're going to grab those guys. That's, you know, Newby, Reese, Troy Mullenberg, Cam Johnson, those types of players that Iowa kind of backed in and say, hey, we want to wait until you play your senior year. We try to grab them early. I always tell the story of Ryan Bowen. I recruited Ryan Bowen for 4 years. Since he was a freshman in high school, came to camp every summer. His mom and dad were Northern Iowa graduates. His sister was going to school there. I thought, I'm going to get this guy. And, you know, the Hawks lose a guy late. They make a call to Ryan Bowen, and they saw him up in about 3 weeks after I recruited him for 4 years. It was one of the heartbreaks of recruiting. I remember Eldon Miller said, hey, you got to let that one go and move on to the next one. That's part of what happens in this business.
What do you think of the composition of the Iowa team at this point? We know Chris Murray is going to come back. Peyton Sanford, I saw a quote from him earlier. He's grown a little bit, and they could put 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", at the 2, 3, and 4 spots. But what about the composition of the team, including new guys coming in?
Well, the first blush, Mark, they lose a lot. You know, great three-point shooter in Bohannon. Of course, Tegan Murray's going to go 4 or 5 in the draft. Two-spot defensive guy. But if you look at what they're bringing back, they've got some – they're, you know, old is good in college basketball now. They didn't strike it rich in the transfer portal if they need another big. That's the only concern. But Euless in the backcourt, Bowen, I'm hearing great things about him. In fact, Ray Sotelo had dinner with last night. Whenever he comes in, he's able to go watch the Hawks practice. He's coming in for some cancer treatment. So Fran invites him in. He's got an open-door policy with Ray. So Ray always kind of fills me in. And he said DeSante Brown really looked well. And he loves Perkins. I think Perkins is going to fill in there really well at that spot. Sanford and Dix got to give him some three-point shooting to make up for Bohannon. Hopefully Dix can get it going. But here's the big thing now. Last year when they went small, their small was long because they could go with Patrick McCaffrey, Keegan Murray, Chris Murray. So my concern this year is when they do that, they're not going to be as big as they were. You might stick Connor McCaffrey in there. So they're not as long. They were tough to guard when they used that lineup last year because those guys were all mobile, could score a lot of ways, could throw it, or could pass it. So when they're going to sit Rabracha and try to do that really skilled lineup, that's where they're going to lose a little bit with Keegan Murray gone.
I think people also need to realize that Chris is not Keegan. They're two different players. They're two different kids, no doubt about that. I think it would be unfair for the Iowa basketball fan to heap all of the expectations on Chris's shoulders just because of the fact that he is the twin brother of Keegan. Keegan's more of an inside guy. Chris is more of a shooter. Like you said, when they go small, Keegan could have gone in and he played five. I don't know if Chris can do that. So people, I think, have to realize that. Do you agree?
Oh, Scott, you hit the nail right on the head. And Ray Swatella confirmed that last night because I knew I was going to be on your day. So I said, Ray, I got to give me all you can on the Hawks because he gets to see him all the time. And he made this great point, and you know this as a coach. He said, and this is what Fran told him. I don't think I'm divulging anything secret here, that Keegan Murray had that alpha dog gene. Even though those kids are really, you know, they're so polite, mild-mannered, he was competitive, and he was an alpha dog on the court. He said, Chris can really shoot it. He can do some things as good as Keegan, but he doesn't quite have that alpha dog gene that Keegan Murray has. So there's the difference between those two, you know, and has more kind of taken that back seat throughout his career. But he told me Chris Murray looked really, really good in the workouts that he's watched, that Ray Sotelo has watched.
Kevin, what was your reaction, and maybe what is it, to A.J. Green remaining in the draft rather than maybe pursue Duke, Iowa State? Who knows? I, for one, was surprised.
I think it was somewhat expected from what I knew from being on the inside there, Mark. I think it kind of was. We had a four-year program with Ben Jacobson. You know, had the hip surgeries, but two Valley Player of the Year. It was kind of, he's going to move on and test professionally. And I, you know, he's had a lot of workouts with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I'm kind of wondering if they're going to sign him to one of those two-way deals and put him with the Iowa Wolves. That's just my guess. I don't have any special inside info. But I thought, Mark, he's a guy that, you know, he's going to turn 23 this fall. So for him to stay another year, he's going to be another year older. And we know what that means with NBA scouts. You know, you get past 19, 20, you're becoming an old man in their eyes. So I think in AJ's mind, he felt it was time to go. And was he going to prove his stock going to Iowa State or Duke? I don't know if he would have or not. He put up some pretty good performances in the Valley. I know it's not the Big 12 or the ACC, but I'm glad he didn't go to Duke. because Duke's recruiting class is unbelievable. There's going to be a bunch of five stars. I don't know how many shots he would have got at Duke and how much playing time he would have got playing for the Blue Devils, because they are loaded.
What's new? Yeah. Well, now with A.J. Green, the era you and I gone. It's done. And the Panthers lose him. They lose Noah Carter, who's going to be down at Missouri coming up next year. What do things look like for Ben Jacobson? They did bring in a foreign player, a guard, 6'4 kid, into the program. What's going to happen in Cedar Falls?
I like their backcourt. Born, Heisey, and the freshman you guys have seen, Trey Campbell. Tight Anderson's going to have to step up. Big loss in the front line with Burhau gone. He could really, a 3-and-D guy could really spread defenses. Even if he wasn't making shots, you had to guard him. They're going to miss him because Anderson's a different type of player. The good news is Fife, they say he's going to be back at 100% after he's been to Mayo Clinic, and his long-term COVID effects are starting to disappear for him. Someone that we haven't heard of, guys, has got to step up at the wing spot was Michael Duax out of Dubuque. Dee Daniel out of Dowling, I've seen him play. Somebody we haven't heard of, Landon Wolf, one of those guys in that wing spot, has to step up. But I didn't see Heisey play a lot of three. If Trey Campbell can live up to expectations, you're going to have Bourne, Campbell, Heisey playing three guards back there. So Anderson and Les can develop that wing. Kind of a question mark with the Panthers right now.
What kind of shape is Iowa State in, Kevin?
I'll tell you what, they got a lot of new faces, just like they did last year. And I think we kind of wait and see how they blend with, you know, the two kids from Bonaventure. He got some bigs, some rim protectors in the portal that are going to help him in the SUNY and the kid Hassan Ward from VCU. So great length. Can TJ Altenberger work his magic again and blend all these new bodies again? Boy, you know, they lost two good ones in Hunter and Brockington. Condit also, so they've got some shoes to fill in that backcourt. It's going to be with freshmen, with Lipsy and Eli King in the backcourt for Iowa State. And I think Caleb Grill's got to step up for him, shoot it better. We'll see what these new transfers do.
Well, it was announced earlier that Iowa State is going to play at Missouri in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Not only does Missouri have Noah Carter, but you've got some information on what they've done in the offseason.
Well, the SEC has raided the Valley. It's become the feeder system for the SEC. They took five of the top players in the Valley. Missouri took two, Noah Carter and Isaiah Mosley out of Missouri State. Really talented, so that's about all I know about them. They've really, you know, they really struggled under Conzo Martin in the last couple of years.
They have. And as far as Iowa State is concerned, you enjoyed defense last year. I think you're going to enjoy Iowa State even more this year because now they got bigs that can play defense. It's going to be a lot like last year. Who's going to score? I think you're right on as far as Grill. It needs to step up a little bit. I think another big factor for the Cyclones is going to be without Hunter now, without A.J. Green coming in, the keys are being turned over to a true freshman. Now, Taman Lipsy is really good, really good. I mean, he's built. He's ready to go. Little bit unsure about the outside shot. He's a great penetrator. He's a great assist guy. But he's going to probably have to play 30 minutes a game for the Cyclones.
This guy did last year, the freshman, Tyrese Hunter. Of course, Tyrese came in as one of the top point guards in the country. But so Lipsy's going to have some big shoes to fill. But they keep talking about the kid from Temple. I think it's Jeremiah Williams at 6'4", can play some point guard also they did for Temple. So I think there's another ball handler out there. But who's going to step up and be the this year's Brockington is the big question that we've got. And it's going to be fun to go see Iowa State in the fall practice because that's when T.J. Osberg, I said, hey, you got to watch this Brockington kid. He is a warrior for me. Someone else, it's going to be Holmes, Ward, Williams, Trey King out of Eastern Kentucky. He's got a lot of new faces. But I tell you what T.J. Osselberg and staff has done. They've done a great job in that portal of finding guys that are going to fit their system and play the way they want to at the defensive end and put that great effort in. That's what won for him last year. Can he do that again this year, I think, is the big question in a, you know, the last year of the Big 12 having 10 teams. Because it's going to 14 for a year, then it's going to drop back down to 12.
Yeah, we don't know when Oklahoma and Texas are leaving for sure, but we know that Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF are coming in 2023. Houston could be number one this year, right, Kevin?
Yeah, no question. They're getting most people are saying North Carolina, Mark, but what they got going with Kelvin Sampson, Houston, I'm hearing them two or three on these way too early top 25 polls. And this year, way too early is way too early because of the transfer portal. You just don't know what people have. But again, based on people coming back, old is good. We've seen name, image, and likeness, what it's worked for North Carolina. Those kids are all coming back to play. And here's an interesting fact I found this week. Of the final four teams, there's 20 starters. 17 of those 20 starters were in that program the year before. So only three transfer portal people appeared as a starter in those final four teams. So I think being able to develop your team is still going to be the key to winning national championships and being the top teams in the country.
Hey, before we let you go, I was loading their non-conference schedule, and they did this a couple years ago. I think helped out Fran McCaffrey, and boy, they're doing it again right now. And what do you think about that? What do you think, Ben Jacobson? Is he going to do as usual, try to get as many teams that they can help things out as far as the new quad system? It's not new, but the quad system is concerned. And what do you think T.J. Otzelberger is going to do with his non-con schedule?
Well, let me tell you first about Fran. I think he's done a great job of scheduling based on the experience of his teams. When he's been young, his schedule's kind of soft. Because you know he's going to have an Iowa State game. He's going to have an ACC Challenge game. And at times, he's going to have a Gavitt game. 20-game Big Ten schedule. So when you look at his roster at the Hawks, they've got a lot of experience coming back. Even though they lose those guys we've talked about, Bohannon, Toussaint, and Keegan Murray, he's got a lot of experience coming back. So I can see why he's scheduled up. He's down in that tournament. That's guy's going to face Clemson, and he's got TCU and Cal in the other bracket. TCU getting a lot of love in the Big 12 guys. They're picking them fourth behind loaded Kansas, Baylor, Texas. And let me tell you this: I do got some news from the Valley because I do my annual luncheon down there with Jack Watkins. 20-game schedule in the Valley, so you can see Drake and Northern Iowa won't be divisions, so it's going to be a little bit of a lopsided Valley. But it will ease their non-conference scheduling because they're going to take two games and make those conference games now. They will also be like the Big Ten. They're going to play two games. I believe it's going to be the second week of December will be two Valley games played. Mm. And actually, you and I just announced their non-conference schedule. So they got Bonaventure coming in, which is a good game for them. Return there. Like they have Akron and Northern Illinois. And they're playing in Kansas City against San Francisco, Wichita State, and I can't remember the fourth team. Those brackets have not been set yet, but it's the Guardians Classic in Kansas City for the Panthers.
I mean, nice. Wichita State, you and I, redo all over again. The Shockers and the Panthers.
I got to ask you this, guys. If you're Wichita State, are you like kicking yourself for leaving the Valley now? Because they just lost Houston, Cincinnati, and Central Florida to the Big 12.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Who's left? They're robbing teams from what? Conference USA now.
Yeah.
In the American.
Yeah, I mean, North Texas, nothing wrong with the Mean Green, big school, but UT San Antonio. Yeah, I think if they knew what they could see with Murray coming in, I think they might have stayed.
Yep. Well, Murray, Belmont coming in. It'd be a good league for Wichita State. We had that discussion was at the Valley offices about, and that whole regime at Wichita State that won that move to go to the American, ADs, presidents, those guys are all gone. Of course, the coach is gone, too, under some bad circumstances. Oh, and here's the a fourth team with the Panthers in Kansas City's Grand Canyon. So it's Grand Canyon, Wichita State, along with San Francisco.
Awesome.
So pretty good feel, but again, tough for those mid-majors to get that net up. I'll have Drake and Belmont and the Paradise Jam, and of course Drake's been politicking me to make sure they're the high seed down there, because Drake's will be loaded, guys. They will be picked to win the Valley with Tucker DeVries coming back. They only lose Hemphill, and they lose Murphy, but he's got to bounce back. That Drake's going to be really good.
Yep. For what it's worth, Mr. Lunardi has Drake as the MVC champion right now. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's only in June. And Kevin, say hi to Chris, the rest of the family. Always good talking with you, and take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, as far as the best shooter, we have to say Chris is, because he's our sponsor.
All right.
The best shooter of the Lehman family.
We'll go with that. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Cass, have a good one.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here, talking some off-season hoops here on the Gym Class and KGYM. We have our John Deere Classic ticket giveaway right now. Caller 6, you're going to win an all-day, any-day pass, two of those to the John Deere Classic, plus a parking pass. 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you're going to pick that up. Again, 319-366-1600. We'll let you know who our winner is when we come back.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Spend more time relaxing and less time maintaining your deck with our selection of low-maintenance UltraDeck composite decking. Available in 15 colors. It's scratch, fade, and slip-resistant and can be installed easily. Get 11% off all UltraDeck. Good through June 19th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
The John Deere Classic is coming. With new dates June 29th through July 3rd, we have fabulous new ticket options, an all-new Youth Day, great benefits for our military, fun new experiences, and free parking for ticket holders. You heard me right. Plus, all the world-class action you know and love. So you'd better get in on the excitement. Visit JohnDeereClassic.com today for your spot to see magic happen here.
Gage is our winner, and he's going to go see the John Deere Classic over at the TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois. Thanks to Kevin Lehman for joining us. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we will have the news of the day. Will there be a Game 7 in the NBA? We'll find out tonight, 7 o'clock, with the pregame just past 8 with the tip-off, Boston taking on Golden State. Simple enough, if the Warriors win, they are the NBA champions. Boston wins, there'll be a Game 7 coming up this weekend. So we'll see how that plays out, Mark.
We will indeed, and we'll have a topic tomorrow. We're debating right now, but you'll be notified soon enough.
Yeah, we'll let you know on Twitter, Mark on Facebook,
sure,
et cetera, et cetera. We'll let you know what we're going to kick around coming up tomorrow. And again, thanks to Kevin Lehman. Some good stuff right there. Really, there's no off season for any sports right now. And like I said, basketball's front and center with everything going on as far as the schedules are concerned, where people are landing, who went in the draft, who came back out of the draft. Good stuff.
No doubt about it. And news, I mean, we had the Gatens news break. We've got the NBA draft coming up next week. So pretty soon it'll be time for official practices.
Oh, man. Unofficial practices going on right now. Canadian Adam Hadwin, your leader at -4 at the U.S. Open. He's got a one-shot lead. Rory McIlroy at 3-under. Joel Damon, David Lingmerth, and Callum Tarran are all in the clubhouse at -3. Justin Thomas with a birdie. He is at -2, along with Matt Fitzpatrick, Webb Simpson, and Justin Rose. As day one of the U.S. Open coming to a conclusion in the next few hours, we'll talk about day two coming up tomorrow. We'll look back on the NBA season, see if it's done, and if not, we'll look forward to a Game 7. Don and Alex next. Hope you enjoyed it. Back tomorrow at 3 here on KGYM.
Hi, I'm Flo from Progressive. You know me, I'm a huge football fan, but it can be stressful for us super fans. So Progressive is going to help take your mind off